Well, we're continuing in our teaching on biblical mental health. And it's really, it is important as we as Christians, we're in a world and you sure do wonder about people's mental health. But everybody's connected to a certain type of knowledge, a certain way of thinking, and everybody connects themselves to it. And, we look today as there's many people like, you know, a lot of people, they look more at their political persuasion, whether they're liberals or conservatives or something. But don't mean, you know, whether you're a conservative or a liberal, don't mean you have any good mental health. The Bible is what is the way that we're looking at for the right way of thinking. Really, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by word. And faith is this, is knowledge of the word. That's what it is. The word's open to us and we gain knowledge of the word. You can't have faith in what you don't have knowledge of. So the word is open to us, and that's what it is. It begins to change. In other words, we can put on a new way of thinking. As I've said numbers of times before, that Kenneth Hagin had made this statement many years ago. He said the number one thing that Christians need is a renewed mind. And so it's changing the way that you think. And as when I came into the kingdom, I sure found out I really needed, because I mean, a lot of the Bible was really foreign. Like I find Christians today. The Bible, you talk to a lot of Christians about the Bible. Even people call themselves good Christians and they are nice people and everything. But really, the lack of knowledge about the Bible is really incredible. They don't really look at things for themselves. They just take what somebody else says and maybe not even understand. The other person could be right, but they don't even understand what the person's talking about. And, they go along and they quote things and this and that, but there's not a reality of it in their lives. And we need to understand that it's only what you can live that has any purpose. Doesn't matter, you know, facts and figures. It's about taking knowledge and being able to comprehend it and use it. That's where the success is. And that's what God wants. And so changing and putting on new thought. I was listening to Kenneth E. Hagin is teaching a series that I've been listening to that that I've listened to many times, but it's on confession. But he talks about the fact is we need to understand as Christians, like he talked about, he said, you know, if you were, you didn't know the Bible, you didn't have anything, if all you had was from the standpoint of the Old Testament and you had the Gospels, but you didn't have the New Testament, the writings to the church. He said you'd have no idea why Jesus died. You just know he did. Right. But you wouldn't know why. The disciples didn't know why he died and was raised from the dead till the revelation was revealed to him what happened. Your faith did not come. If you watched Jesus on the cross and die, you didn't see no sin be put on him.
Right.
You didn't see, and you saw nothing of what actually took place, what happened, what God did. We believe on him based on the knowledge of the word. There's no sight to it. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw. No, there wasn't anybody at the crucifixion saw what took place to Jesus that saved us. Mm-hmm. No one did. The church, they act like they did, like, you know, oh, it would have been, so if you'd have been there at the cross, it'd have been a nothing for you. You just saw a guy who got beat up terribly, was crucified and killed, might have made you feel sorry. But it wouldn't have done anything for you. So it is faith in the Word of God, and we need to understand this. We're giving people a message that's not based on sight. This is what faith is, not based on sight. And we need to understand this. Our knowledge and our developing, our mind is being developed. It isn't built by seeing. A biblical mind's put on by looking at the word and taking what was not seen in this earth and believing what it says and believing it's true. And then that manifests through us. But it doesn't work by sight. It doesn't work. You know, you could see a million people healed but have no faith to be healed.
That's right.
Doesn't mean you could have faith to be healed. You have to know if God is going to heal you. And you know what? The only way you find that out is by the word. A lot of Christianity is sight Christianity. It's by sight. They follow traditions. They follow different things. I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm not saying that they actually got saved. But it amazes me how some people even got saved. It just amazes me. Because really, faith was not, lots of things are not involved. It's people are going through the motions of things and stuff. And that's why faith comes by hearing the word. Tonight we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to look at a section of scripture today I know that you're familiar with. But we're going to look at it in the context it's written, because most of the time, I don't know if I ever heard it taught in its context. It's always usually certain scriptures, and they bring truths out to them, and they're good. But there's greater truth in looking at it in the context of Paul's writing to the church. Because when you see it in his context, you find out it's a little different than what people generally say it says. And this is what we want to look at. This is why the Lord taught me years ago, reading it, he said, it's a letter written. You read it as a letter. You sit down and look at it. You know, you just don't pull. Well, you know, like somebody writes a letter. Do you read like the third, maybe paragraph, and then go to the sixth paragraph? And you really understand what they wrote. Well, the church does a lot of that. And the whole thing of it is, it isn't the matter. The Holy Spirit's amazing, reveals certain truths, but we don't get fullness of truth. That's the whole thing. We get parts of truth. But it's like a puzzle. You might get a look at a puzzle, but do you ever look at a puzzle and there's parts missing and that stuff, and you look at it, you can't really tell, you can tell certain things about the picture, but you can't tell the whole thing. Well, we need to get a clearer picture. And that's what God wants us to have, a clearer picture. And so his idea is teaching. So 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I want to let you understand as we break into this, because I'm not going to go back and read the 9th chapter. Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he is correcting them because there's trouble going on in the church, and he's upset about it. So what he's writing about to them is about who he is in his ministry. And this is what it's going to be talking about here. And it's going to be talking about God's use. In other words, God wants to reveal something to us that if we turn around and yield to the things that God has put in place for us, we can have greater success. And so we want to see what Paul's talking about here. And I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you." In other words, his discussion is about this. He's talking about coming and seeing them.
What are you?
2 Corinthians 10th chapter. So, he is talking with them about the fact coming to see them. Now, he said he's lowly and meek, but he's going to talk about coming to them boldly, because of things that are going on in the church there. So he's coming. So he said, "I being absent am bold toward you." But he said, "I beg you that when I am present, I may be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." Now this is who he's talking about. The us and the we're going to find out is not the people there. Now we're taught as if it's talking to the people there. It's not. He's talking about himself and the people who minister with him. This is who he's actually talking about. Now, it doesn't mean that none of this can apply to us, in which it does, but we need to understand what the context is talking about here. When he's made the statement here, us, he couldn't be talking to them, because he's talking about him coming. Who's this us?
Right.
This is why, make sure you actually read the words when you read the Bible of what it's saying. It is self-explanatory, but we are taught certain ways, so we see it the way we were taught many times. And there's not anybody who hasn't done that. There's things that I read for years, and all of a sudden the light came on, and I thought, oh my God, all the time I read that, I never saw that. I never saw a certain thing. I didn't see it. Yet it was there the whole time. Kenneth Hagin said, don't read the Bible with your religious colored glasses. So I always have a different reading glasses. We want to do that. So he's talking about us as if we walked according to flesh. In other words, Paul's dealing with these people because they think he's just another guy. A very big problem in the church world today. A lot of ministers did this themselves. They don't set themselves apart to their calling. And people just think they're another guy. And they just think, he reads the Bible, just sort of teaches it. Go to college and we get some classes. That ain't the way. Church ain't got a thing to do with going to college. It ain't got a thing to do with going to Bible school. Because that doesn't make you have the calling or the anointing. You can't get an anointing going to a Bible school. You're either called to suit something or you're not. You can't pick and choose it. Well, if I get real smart, then I can be an apostle. That's people today. They do that. People fall for it. They don't even know somebody's anointed to do it. I was given a gift. I didn't get my gift at school. Right. Never got it there. Learned some things, how to yield to it maybe better, but you can't get the gift. And the gift has things in it that are for the body of Christ that you can't get without the gift. You can't get it yourself. There's things you'll never get yourself. You won't. See, some people, and it's almost taught like you can just, you know, go along and be good. This is why so many Christians don't go to church. They don't hook up to nothing. They don't, because they've been taught. We've been taught, you know. We're Americans, man.
Right.
You know, it's all about me. It's not the way it works. There's people who are anointed by God, and I found this out. There's things I learned from people, like through Kenneth, and the Lord told me to stay close to Kenneth Hagin. There's things I was taught through him. If I wouldn't got those foundations in him, from him, that God gave him to teach, I wouldn't be knowing a lot of things I know today. If you could generally learn it, everybody knew about baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues.
Right.
Why? People don't listen to the anointed people. Because we're going to find out what is said here. And this is really important because it speaks to us. So he said, we're not walking according to the flesh. In other words, these gifts don't operate with the things about the flesh or what is seen or with the things around or what people are looking at and seeing. See, most people come to church because they got physical problems in their life. They got, you know, problems with other people and things. And they come to church and their thoughts are on how to fix these physical problems. And they ain't paying a bit of attention to spiritual things.
Yeah. True.
And they want to get the problem solved, so the church has gone to psychology to help people work their way through the physical stuff, trying to make something better.
Yes.
That's the way it goes. I'm sorry, these gifts were not given. I mean, if we would look, and I want you to see this in you know, from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 11, I'm going to read these two. It says, and he himself, this speaks of Christ, gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should be no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, if we're going to grow up, we have to have these gifts to grow up. The church thinks you can grow up today without them. We don't need these people. It's like, how much of the church world didn't believe in the apostolic nor the prophetic gift in itself? They don't believe them. So what? There's knowledge they will never, ever, ever gain. God's not going to give them that knowledge. He put people in the earth that they must listen to. And those people have the ability to impart something to them that has been given by God to them to impart to other people. So it's given. Now understand it. And if you don't listen to that or you don't cooperate with that, it don't get given to you.
That's right.
That's why when God told me, the teaching gift I got, he said, I had to go out to Oklahoma. You had to go out there and what? Get the gift from the person. Oh, everybody today, there's loads of people called to the ministry that have never been gifted to the ministry.
Amen.
Why? They don't ever hook up with it. Nothing's imparted to them. God called me, so I'm just going to go do it. Hold it. I was called the whole time. Why? See, things are given by these gifts. Like as you see the day approaching, don't forsake the assembly of yourself together as some do, as most do today.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
And what's why? There's no way for the body to grow up. It's impossible. We need to tell people, if you're not going to go and sit down under teaching, if you're not going to listen to teaching, if you're not going to pay attention to God telling you what you're supposed to be hooked up with, and you're not going to do that, you're not going to grow up. You can read the Bible. God will reveal some things to you, but you'll basically stay a baby. I have never met anybody who's mature who don't. I mean, a lot of people think they're mature. Oh, they know scriptures, but they don't know God. They don't know God. This is about running into God. So what is it? So he said, concerning this, we're not walking according to the flesh. In other words, our gifts have nothing to do with the flesh. They have nothing to do with the flesh. Divine healing has nothing to do with your flesh.
All right.
Yet, most people want divine healing are all focused on their flesh. And I found a lot years ago, that's why they can't get healed. They think they're being spiritual. Oh, I believe in healing. But they're looking at it all from the flesh. All from the flesh. That isn't how it works. That's why we want to pay attention. Listen to what he said. For though we walk in the flesh, in other words, our walk down here in the earth, he's talking about naturally, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, you need to know this. Paul's saying he's not warring. In other words, his ministry, he's warring. If you're in the ministry, you're warring. You're fighting in opposition to something. You're dealing with people who are in the flesh, and you're warring against spiritual things, trying to bring information to them. Trying to bring spiritual information. So even when you understand this, when you're ministering to people, when you're talking to people out here and you want to share the gospel, you need to understand, you're taking something spiritual and trying to give it to carnal. Because see, this is where they're at. They're carnal. Now, you want to hook up with God on this because you need to be empowered to bring that so they can take a hold of that. They must be able to take a hold of it. It isn't just something natural. He said what? We're warring. So that Paul says, look, we're dealing with warfare. This is what, we're going to find out what warfare is, and it is not at all what people say it is. It's not at all. Now, he says we're warring, but what is the war? This is what we want to find. What's the war? What's the warring that Paul is doing? And here he is. Number one, he's in a big battle here. Now he goes over to Ephesus. He don't have to war like he does at Corinth. At Corinth, you got a war. Because why? The devil got a big hold in the church. And it's hard to get, and you know what? You better have an anointing to deal with these people. Why? Being able to talk to people about the scriptures ain't enough. You better have an anointing to deal with those spirits and things you're dealing with. Because we find out why. What does he go on to say? Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare. He's talking about, now our warfare, who's the hour he's talking about? It's not the people there. Yeah. In other words, my weapons are not carnal, they're not fleshly. So we're not, these weapons that he has, he's not dealing with the flesh of man. You want to overcome your flesh, you're going to have to do it through the Spirit. Just say no. Remember Reagan's wife, you know, to just say no to drugs. Well, that worked real well. I mean, the United States is off of them now. You know, just it doesn't work. There's a war, he said, are not my, the warfare that he said, the weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty to God for the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, his ministry gift pulls down strongholds. Ministry gifts pull down strongholds. And they must. The strongholds of what? Listen, he'll tell us what strongholds that we're dealing with people. The strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What are we doing? You see, the people who don't know, the people in the flesh, they have all kind of arguments of why they believe what they do. They have a, understand, this is the war, the thoughts of people. You know, the war goes on in your mind. Satan deceives people into believing things. You're dealing with demonic deception going on. This is what we're dealing with. Demons have people bound in ways of thinking. What he says we're doing, we're going to do this. We cast down arguments. In other words, we cast these arguments down. This is what you do. They come along. They have their beliefs. You better have an argument that casts that down. You better have an anointing to do that, to cast that argument down. You need to have that. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to cooperate with it. But you know, too many people, Christians, get around and somebody... Here's what I found. When I wasn't saved, I was around religion enough, I knew the Bible better than most Christians. And so they would come along with their stuff and I could throw more scriptures at them than they could. And they didn't know what to do. So they couldn't throw down an argument at all against me. They had no authority or power to do it. They didn't have true knowledge of God. They had no anointing on them to do it. They went to a class on how you, just like you go to a class and learn some other subject. That wasn't no different than that. We need to understand is most of the church world doesn't know nothing about the anointing. Doesn't know about anything about it, the anointing and it works. But see, what are we doing is casting on it. He said, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, we throw those things down. We don't cooperate with people on it. We have a direction that we're going. We ain't thinking some other way.
Right.
Now, what is the purpose of all this? He says this, bringing every thought in captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, there's one thing is you have to do that. Bring every thought into captivity, the obedience of Christ. You have to do that. There's a lot being said, a lot going on. People have all kind of ideas. People have all kind of things in the church world. Loads of sinners out here are religious. You're dealing with. This is why you want to have the anointing of God on your life, because you're dealing with people. They're outside of all of this stuff and their minds are fleshy. They might think today the world, what the people call and even Christians call spiritual, most of the time isn't spiritual. It's carnal. I've heard Christians call other people spiritual. And the person is carnal as a day is long. But because they meet the standard and act like the standard set by men, they're okay. It is a strange thing. I knew people that live very moral lives that are very Christians who are very carnal. Kenneth Hagin, I was one time, I thought really boldness. He was in a church. It was called a holiness church. And he got up in front of them and said, this is the most carnal church I've ever preached in. And boy, they thought they were the most holy thing there was on the block. But see, the whole thing, the holiness of men. They knew nothing about spirituality. They had wonderful rules and all this stuff that they followed. They had all these things. You know, they had all the right clothing. You know, didn't wear the makeup, didn't do all the things. They had all the stuff. You know. We don't cheat on my, I don't cheat with my neighbor's wife. I don't do that. But I do hate my neighbor. But see, all the outside, the appearance is on the outside. People don't realize that. That's why I examine it. Am I really spiritual? Or am I just following religious rules? You know, I don't touch, don't taste. As if there's, Paul wrote to the church of Colossae, as if there's some kind of spiritual thing to that. I don't eat certain things. I don't, you know. I'm spiritual. I do this and that. I'm really holy. But we see that. So we're taking it. He said, now listen to this. Listen to what he says. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. See, there's disobedience going on in the church. But he told them. See, you can't correct the disobedience till you get people obedient. Then you can start dealing with stuff. See, they're not obedient to Christ. They're not obedient to the Word of God is what it is. This is what they're dealing with here. Let me read this to you out of the Bible in basic English. I'm going to read verses 4 through 6 to you. I think it really does a really great job here. It says, for the arms with which we are fighting are not those of the flesh, but are strong before God for the destruction of high places. It's dealing with demonic powers. See, what we're dealing... Understand this. We're dealing with demonic powers. This is what... When you're dealing with a sinner, you're dealing with a person who's under the influence of demonic powers. See, we think it's some guy out there, if he's crawling on the ground, or, you know, he's saying vile things. Sinners. You were a sinner? Whether you like it or not, you were the devil's kid and you were under his power. Mm-hmm. You might have thought you were a nice person, but you weren't. You weren't nice. And see, he's saying here, we're fighting not against the flesh, but are strong before God for the destruction of high places. See, get your mind and thinking straight, especially, it's a lot of ministers don't see themselves in. Well, you know, I've heard ministry and say, well, I don't really get over into that other stuff, this powers. Basically, we're just trying to deal with people just from a mental basis. We're not realized. We're dealing with people. We're trying to take them to a spiritual level to enter into a spiritual kingdom. And many times Christians, we're trying to grab them out of demonic powers. Because they think, oh, okay, you know, and yet they're over here fleshly. If you're fleshly, if you're pretty fleshly, you're under demonic powers. Why is he writing this way? He's writing to a church here. He's not writing to the sinners in the world. He's writing to a church. As Kenneth Hagin said this, the devil is more faithful in going to church than Christians are.
Yeah, true.
Now listen to this. Putting an end to reasoning. Putting an end to reasoning. Get this in yourself, for yourself. You're going to have a hard time ministering to people if you're reasoning about the Word of God. Get settled about it. I don't care what the Word said. I don't care if my reasoning, it don't make sense. The Word's true.
Amen.
Get yourself over and knock it off. Because it will keep you fleshly doing that. The Word's true. The Word's true. You don't have to, people are sitting around trying to figure out the Word. And I'm sorry, if you could figure it out, you wouldn't need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We don't figure it out. This is why most people never get revelation, because they are trying to get revelation without believing. When I figure it out, I'll believe it.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't go that way. I believe it, whether or not it makes any sense to me at all. It's God's Word, it's got to be true. Amen. Hallelujah. Light will come. Light will shine out of darkness. Hallelujah. It'll come and it'll be revealed. So we're putting an end to reasoning and every high thing which lifted up against the knowledge of God and causing every thought to come under the authority of Christ. This is what we want to do that in our own lives. See, we want to minister to people to take them to a place. We must be in that place.
Amen.
Many Christians are trying to bring people to Christ when they're not really walking close to Christ. Mm-hmm. They're not in a place. They're trying to take somebody somewhere where they haven't been.
Amen.
Remember what Jesus said? Can't go any further than your teacher.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to say, so now listen to what he says. I like this verse 6 because I think it clarifies it better. Being ready to give punishment to whatever is against his authority after you have made it clear that you are completely under control. Pretty good. See, Paul's saying, look, I'm ready to give punishment to whatever is against his authority, Christ. Now he's talking about Christians. He's not punishing the world. Christians getting straightened out. Christians doing things causing trouble in the church. Today you cause trouble in the church, they make a ministry for you.
Yeah.
So you can turn around and cause trouble and, you know, because we're ever all trying to get along. No, some people, you got to throw them out the door quick. Mm-hmm. And when they go on out, kick them on the way out. Making sure that don't come back. You don't let wolves and goats run loose in the church. But they do today. Much of the Christian community is run by goats. People bucking and pushing around and, you know, their ideas and their thinkings and complaining and griping and moaning. No respect concerning the ministry or head. There's no authorities that they're under. We need to understand this. If Jesus put authorities in the church, you don't like those authorities. You don't like Jesus. You can go and say you love Jesus all you want. He don't even care. It's all wind blowing to him. We understand this. Dealing with authority. Even if I don't like, you don't like the person, there has to be a respect shown. We have authorities and that stuff that God set in place, and they don't do what's right. But God's going to have to deal with them on that. And see, we need to get over things. People today, we have Americans and American churches as much rebellion as the people on the streets in Los Angeles. They aren't any more in submission to the authorities God put in the church. They're in no more submission to it. Now, I'm going to pick and choose, you know. It's like with me. I saw this is one of the problems, like with Joe Biden. You know, Joe Biden, I don't like what he did, but the church does not have the right to rebel against the authority of their leader just because he don't do what they like.
That's right.
And the church acted like a bunch of hellions on the street throwing rocks at the cops. Burning cars. And then we're over here praying, asking God, we need help in our nation. This is why I always tell people, God had mercy on America. I don't think the Christians were that good to get God to do this. People were just tearing up. And see, in the body of Christ, we need to understand, when gifts are not respected, revelation is not given by God from the gift. See, I can go before people, but God won't give me revelation things to deal with them. And so you need to understand that. We have, you know, you folks are hungry for the word. I mean, you're just, but you know, it's not the norm. Many people say they're hungry for the Bible, but they're hungry for what they want to hear.
Right.
That's what they're hungry for.
Yeah.
This is what I want to hear. You see, it's not, it doesn't operate. You know, see, instead of the teachers taking the place of teaching in the church, we've done, and the school systems turn the same way. The class runs the room, runs the school. The children run the school, what the school does by what they do. I see it all the time. I see businesses do it today. Their employees are running the place, and they wonder why things ain't working.
Yeah.
You can't make it work. See, if we don't see how bad things are, the church has very little insight. That's why I'm seeing these things I'm teaching tonight. When you look at them in the light of what he's talking about, it's dealing with us the things that all of us as Christians, we need to deal with our minds. We need to deal with what we do. There's reasonings going on in this world, and I'm going to tell you what, most of the church world is in the reasoning realm of the rest of the American world is like. But yet what we want, people say, I want a great revival. God can't bring it with this kind of thinking. Why? Because people can't cooperate with it. It requires God operating through people. It always requires that. If God just come down and did stuff, why don't he just go do that? But he never has. You know, we look at, I mean, go back and read, look at Moses. Did the children of Israel get in a lot of trouble over that man? Why would the church today didn't think they're going to get in trouble? Backslidden buzzards think they know something and they're as wicked as the devil is.
Amen.
You know, he didn't always have a nice message from God to the people. But they picked and chose the messages they wanted. Didn't they? Worked out well for him. You see, they were the same as American today, the American church. Could not get the world out of them. The Egyptian world, they could not get out of them. They were so close to it, they walked it. The church today is in that category. The church is so tied to the world system in America. Many Christians can't get over to them. We're having a hard time getting people to get over. You're weird. You are weird.
Amen. Thank you.
You are just downright weird. No, but it is. Because, I mean, and you see yourself, it's like to sit down in this reasoning and stuff, you know, like people today, they question everything. And people just can't stop and say, okay, God said that. That's it. No, it's just like today we people worry about, they look at the Constitution. Well, they don't follow the Constitution. And I just say to Christians, when are you going to follow the Word? Somebody might follow the Constitution if you'd follow the Word.
Amen.
We're asking the world to follow guidelines of something and the church won't.
Amen.
Apostle Paul writing to most churches today, if he wrote this letter, this is why I think people pull some of these things out of context, because if he taught them in their context, they'd find out the rebellion they're in. Or maybe they can see it. We don't want to read about that. You see this? So Paul's talking about these gifts. Now, I want you to get this idea about this gifts operating through Paul. This is why I found this out. Sitting under gifts can do things for you and release you from things you can't get released from. Yourself, you'll never get released from. You'll never get released from. The gift is given through by God through an individual that'll set you free. See, Paul's talking about, he has the ability. See, these people have got a thought problem. He's anointed by God to deal with this thought problem they got. He has an anointing to do this. And he's telling these people, hey, my weapon, this is incarnate. I got weapons. And they bring thoughts into captivity.
Amen.
Boy, don't people need that today?
Yeah.
Amen. Man, we ought to be praying, God, give away. We want weapons. We want to be anointed.
Amen.
To bring thoughts into captivity. I want to, God, if somebody's got something I need, it can get me delivered from something and has an anointing, I want it. You know, when the Lord told me and spoke to me about Randall Greer, he told me to go. When he told me to go to Randall Greer's ministry, and I went there. The first meeting I said it, and he said, you want a leader, this is the guy I gave you. So what first thing? See, he's a leader over me. God said so. I don't get to pick and choose whether or not he's a leader over me. God said he was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's number one, if I don't like something, that's tough. He's a leader over me.
Mm-hmm.
But this I do know. I know this. You know, I don't agree with everything he says, but there's one thing I know. He has an anointing that has helped me, that has helped me immensely. God works through him. My anointing has changed sitting under his ministry.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
You see why? He's gifted to do that. See, people would think that just happens. And that just, you know, I could just sit and watch TV once in a while, watch, you know, somebody on there, I can do something, I can just... All it is men watching men.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Carnal people watching, even the guy got the arm, they get nothing from it, you know. I want to sit here so I can get up, walk away and go get a cup of coffee when I want to, or I can go get this and I can do that. I'll come back and watch something. Boy, wasn't that really a good service? That was really good, you know. I was... See, the body of Christ has gifts in it, and those gifts in there are to bless people, even among one another.
That's right.
God gifts people in among one another to bless others, and you know what? He will not do it when people are sitting out here someplace else. It will not happen. It won't. Why would you not forsake the assembly of self together? Well, what was the purpose? Just to have a group get together? We can sit around and talk about our problems or something?
Amen.
What's it about? It's about the anointing that's in the church that Jesus Christ put there that the church neglects, will not have nothing to do with, then talk about Jesus.
Yep.
When their basic thoughts are, they can't stand him. They all say wants fire insurance. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Just want fire insurance, that's it.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing else I want out of this deal. Just let me alone. You ain't ever being Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
Of what's required. You see, Paul's anointed. This is why. This is important. You can learn how. You know, this is. I found this out. The closer I followed Kenneth E. Hagin, things of his passed on to me.
Amen.
Why? He had an anointing to pass things to Ed. God gave it. You know what? Loads of Rhema people never got the anointing. Because he never followed it close.
Mm.
Yeah. Kenneth Hagin taught this fact. He said, if you are called to a certain anointing and somebody operates that anointing at a higher level, follow them very closely. And you'll pick up on that anointing. Why? Because that's the field that you're in. And that person has the ability to pass. God anoints him to pass on something to you.
Mm.
Yeah. See, the prophetic operates through me. Being around Randall Greer, it sharpened it more.
Mm.
Got passed on to me more. So you have to understand, the Bible, the church is a lot of babies today. Full of babies. Full of baby ministers. Don't understand these things. We don't teach this stuff to people. We go. There's a purpose we go to church. You can't do without the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. You can't do without. You will never, ever grow up. Or Jesus Christ is a liar. Paul's a liar. This whole thing's a lie and a fraud. If it is, what the heck are we doing here? Is Christianity a fake? No. People are fakes.
That's right.
Many fake Christians. Many fake Christians. And we need to understand this, what we're dealing with. We're in a world of demonic deception, and it requires the anointing of God to deal with this stuff. And we're trying to do it just in, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm this, oh, I'm okay, and I'm a nice person. And the whole time, the devil rules and reigns.
Yep.
Evil runs rampant in the nation. All this stuff goes on. You see, we need to come into the knowledge of the truth. Back over to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, we're back there in verse 7 says, Paul makes this statement in verse 7, do you look at things according to the outward appearance? He asks him the question, do you look at things, oh, problems and situation? What's going on? Are you looking at the outward situation? Is that what you're looking at? See, he's dealing with demonic stuff. He's dealing with powers, principalities and powers. And he says to them, what are you guys looking at here? See, you know what? I will guarantee you, they probably wanted to live better lives, but they're trying to do it through the natural. They're not dealing with the spirit behind things. They're over here, Paul tells them things, and you know what? They're not listening to the guy who was anointed to do something for them. They're doing their own thing, their own ideas. He goes, if anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is in Christ, even so we are Christ. See, again, he's talking about this, we are. These ones that we're talking about here, this anointed group, these ones. See, they're anointed to bless this church, but the church, basically they're ignoring them. They're trying to do this stuff themselves. They're making up their own Christianity with their own Jesus. Paul wrote to Galatians, said, you know, we come along, teach you guys another Christ. You have another, but it ain't Christ. Many Christians today serve a Christ that is not Christ. Mm-hmm. It's a Christ that's made up of men. It's not a Christ who is Lord. It's a Christ who, he just loves everybody and, you know, just, oh, it's all going to be all right. Sorry, that's not my Jesus. My Jesus is in charge of the church.
Amen.
He's in charge of the church. And you know what? He's Lord over Ed, whether Ed likes it or not.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. I don't get a say in it.
Amen.
God the Father made him Lord and head of the church. And to rebel against that is directly rebel against the salvation of heaven.
Amen.
He's Lord. I don't get a say. See, for even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, again, here's this, they have authority. Understand this. Now, in our church, I have an authority that nobody else has. And it's not that, but there's people who have authority. God put a leader over me. He has authority over me.
Mm-hmm.
I can just tell you, I've learned this in the church in over the years as pastor. I can tell who submits to my authority because of this. God will give me that person more revelation through me than he'll give others. I can always tell. There's people who need help. God will not give me help for them because they won't submit to my authority. There's people that I had to do funerals for that God sent me to talk to them and they refused it and they died.
Mm.
They knew all the believing they said they were doing. It didn't do a bit of good. Why? They don't need, you know, I'm just walking the flesh, in the flesh head. His anointing, he don't have any anointing. He's just like the rest of the boys.
Mm.
And it cost him. That's why people don't get answers.
Mm-hmm.
I've had other things. People just stay in problems. I mean, God, it's an amazing thing. More times God has given me messages specifically for people. And you can count on it. The devil will keep them out of church not to hear it. They won't be there.
There it is.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
I've had that, and I know it specifically. Now, the whole body gets it. We all learn from it. But I know it specifically to help a person in a situation. Mm-hmm. And they don't show up. Well, God had a reason. No, he didn't. The devil did. And they're bound by him. And they listen to the devil.
That's right.
Their flesh comes first.
Amen. Preach.
Amen.
And the devil can keep them away.
Mm-hmm.
The devil can do that. Because he's in charge. Under the authority. They walk in the flesh. When you walk in the flesh, that's his realm. That's where he is in charge.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the place.
Yes.
That's the place he rules and reigns. We rule and reign in the Spirit.
Amen.
He said, which the Lord, he said, gave us for what? Edification and not for your destruction. He said, see, it's not for your... He ain't coming this thing here for their destruction. He's trying to save this crew.
That's right.
They need help. His anointing and the anointings of the ones with him, God gave specifically... That it is coming from God through them, and their rejection of them leaves them in this situation. In other words, they're not going to get out of this. Just the way it is. I learned a long time ago. There's people in authority. There's people, it's like with me. I look at some people, just a matter of where they stand and they walk. I look at them as authority over me. There's areas they know, and I'll submit, because I want to know what they know.
Amen.
And I submit to that. Because I know they're anointing God things, and if they're anointing God something, I want to know what is in that anointing, the God that I need.
Right.
Sometimes
right.
I don't always know exactly what it is I need, but I get this in me like, there's something I got to get here. And you learn to follow that, to get after it so you can get it, because it's from them. If you can learn without the gifts, Jesus Christ is a knucklehead. He's a stupid moron. Don't know nothing. Why would he give gifts and you can get and hook up with God just well without him? He said, Jesus, Paul said the church can't grow up without him. Mm-hmm. Now I'm sticking to the Bible. I don't give a rip who teaches anything else. They're wrong and they're lying.
Amen.
They're deceived by demonic powers. Now I don't care. Say, well, are they saved? Yeah, they're saved, but they're deceived.
Yep.
In the latter days, what does it say is going to happen? People are going to receive doctrines of devils. Boy, do we have them in the church. And you know what? Most of the doctrines of devils that are hurting the church the most, the average, I shouldn't say more than average Christian, thinks that the doctrines are all right. They're good. They think they're biblical. And they're twisted doctrines. The church don't have to get together. We're just, TV is going to make it happen and it's all going to this and that. Taking the personal out of it. I'm sorry. God passes anointings on personally. He don't.
Amen.
I know. The anointings I've had hand lands on me by numerous people over the time that God anointed somebody to lay a hand to pass something to Ed.
That's right.
Amen.
But see, the church, all the church knows is about laying hands. We just got healing. But that's not. Paul told Timothy and wrote to him about the gift that he received by the laying hands of the presbyter. In other words, his elders laid hands on him. That's where Timothy's gift came from. Heaven didn't just drop it on him one day. Like I got my gift from Kenneth Hagin. I went out to the meeting and I got the gift. I had to go out there in his presence. This is why the ministry is so messed up today. So many unanointed people out here have callings, but no anointing. Nothing's been passed on. Nothing's been... First church didn't operate like that. They didn't do that. That isn't the way they operated. It's not a different church. The church is the church is the church is the church.
Right.
And the church of the book of Acts, it didn't change.
Mm-hmm.
We're the same church. See, the apostles came along and they passed on to stuff. They passed on. Their anointing. They passed on to others. That's what we're called to. We're passing something on. We're anointed, even as every Christian. This is why we want to walk close with God, because we have an anointing from the Holy One. Well, what for anointing? See, you sit in and listen to the teachers. When the anointing, if people learn to flow with that, it's like God can manifest himself through me to pass things on to people. But if people ain't pulling nothing, nothing gets passed on. I don't care how much you need it. God's not moved by your need.
Amen.
He's only moved by your faith.
Amen.
There's some things you're going to sit and study and study and never know. Why? There's people God gave. This is what, if we learn to operate in this, it'll get rid of the devil and his doctrines in the church. Because we'll let God's anointing will start to take over. And teaching and instruction will start coming from the Word. Mm-hmm. Instead of man's ideas and man's plans. That's the way man gets in. Because everybody decides their own doctrine and their own beliefs. Mm-hmm. When I saw this in the Bible, I've heard people say, well, I saw this in the Bible. And I look at it and think, dear Lord, where'd that come from? I mean, when I first got saved, I mean, knew enough about the Bible reading, and I would spend a lot of time reading the Bible, you know, didn't know a lot about a lot of things, but I'd read it. I knew scripture was there, and Jehovah Witness shows up at the house. Now, here's a man. He knows about scriptures in the Bible, but he has no anointing. He's not anointed by God. He's not anointed, but he has scriptures. And he walks in the door, and he has a Bible in his hand, and he said, it's a book in Revelation, and he said, read this scripture. And I turned around and I read the scripture. And he says, well, what does that mean? I said, you just hang on a second here. See, I didn't know much, but I had enough good sense. I knew enough about this. You don't just pull one scripture and read it and start some doctrine. Yet, the average Christian is full of that kind of teaching. One scripture doctrines. And so I gave him his, I said, just a minute, let me get my Bible. And he's like, oh, yeah. And I brought my Bible back. I said, now let's read that scripture. And I came to him and I said, what do you think it meant? And he went and told me something just off the wall. And I said to him, now let's read that in its context. And I read it down through and I said, that didn't say that at all, did it? He got so mad at me. He said, you just won't listen. He got mad. He said, you won't listen. I said, sir, you came into my house. I didn't come to yours. You came into my house and lied to me. If anybody ought to be mad, it ought to be me. I said, I just proved you lied. And I said, you're mad. Well, he said, you ain't going to listen. And he left. That really made me feel bad, I tell you. These people buy these books to study about other groups. Know the Bible. Know the Bible. I've never said read these books like, because I'll tell you what, there's more Christians have gotten demons opened up to them reading books they should never be reading.
Amen. That's right.
About other religions, their spirits go with those books.
That's right.
Who do you think wrote them? Hey, ain't just men. Paul just wasn't man. Hey, demonic people under the influence of Satan, yield with spirits to do things, and spirits are behind those things they are doing, and they will influence if you get involved in it. Because of the lack of understanding in the areas of Scripture today, people are really ignorant about a lot of this stuff. They're totally ignorant. They don't understand spiritual powers. They don't understand how the spirit realm operates, how it works. I mean, read the scriptures. If what they did certain things in certain ways in scriptures, then we're going to need to see it. That'll be the pattern that'll be followed. Those patterns will come along and be followed. You'll begin to see them in that manner. You can expect, with concerning people and gifts and operations, when I look at it in from the scripture standpoint, then I know this, that God will operate through me certain ways. He'll do things along certain patterns and certain things. That's how it's going to be like scripture. You know, I've heard this so much when I came into Christianity. Well, God's going to do something new. Well, let me just say that the Bible makes a statement about God doing. It doesn't mean God don't change, so there's nothing new to God. It might be new to us, but it's never different
Amen.
Than scriptures.
It always aligns. Amen.
There's always witness of scripture in that. Always the witness of scripture. And so we want to follow things and stuff. See, there's a pattern. The church sort of mixes everything up. You know, it's like understanding, like say, with the healing anointing. You can go out here and get sinners healed easily. But you're not going to do it as easy with Christians. Especially, you're going to have the hardest group you're going to have trouble dealing with healing are the spirit-filled people. Because they're taught it. They shouldn't be running around trying to get it from somebody else.
That's right.
This is why so little healing goes on in churches yes. like that. Yet you can go out here in the world and lay hands on somebody and get them healed like that. But you know, you ain't going to just keep doing it for them out there either. Once they get it, We need to understand. But we're reaching the world. The church throws it all in the basket, and the church is still trying to do what the world does to get. Sorry, you are not going to be able to do that. God will not allow it. Just like, you know, there's things we do for a 3-year-old. We don't do it for the 15, well, they do today. For the 15-year-old, they'll do what the 3-year-old does, and they just copy the same things, and they reach 50 years old, and we're still trying to do the same thing when they were 3, and that's why people never grow up. That's why the church is nothing but a big playpen. And you can't kick those old big babies out of the playpen because somebody take their bottle. See, we grow up. And starting to understand it is developing in the Word, growing up in the Word. The Word will grow you up where you take hold of things, where you become one who helps others and not always having to be helped.
Amen.
And I'm not standing from a standpoint of brag, but you know, who am I going to run to for help all the time? You got to grow up.
Amen.
You know, I ain't going to wait for the next Sunday service, get hands laid on, if something happens to me. I'm going to get delivered before Sunday service
Amen.
Comes.
That's right.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
Why? People are they're looking that somebody else has certain things they don't believe they have, and what they do need that somebody can give, they don't know a thing about it. They can't grow up. See, one of the things that really helped me grow up is the people I sat under who passed things on to me. That's how I grew up. They put things in me that changed the way I thought. Found myself thinking differently and thought, well, how does this happen? All of a sudden I knew what to do, what was the right thing. I knew it's like, before you're sitting there looking, you're wondering, you know, what to do and what's your next step. And it's like, man, all of a sudden, bang, something comes on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's because something passed on from somebody. And that's what we need. There needs spiritual change. The Bible is just not a book that we sit down and study like a textbook. It is not. It requires the anointing of God. This is the living words of God. This is heaven's organization that operates in the earth. This is how it does. There is no operation in the earth without it. The devil rules and reigns. This is the only way the devil doesn't rule and reign, is by following this. And it requires the anointing of heaven to bring it to us. It requires us to be spiritual. Carnal man cannot make it work. Don't matter how Israel had the law and they went and gave all their sacrifices and they followed through in all those things. If they didn't do it with their heart and didn't follow after God, it didn't work. The devil would overrun them. God told them, I'm sick of your offerings. I'm tired of your stuff. You can go through. I'm going to tell you, God feels that way about Christians. He's tired of their stuff. He's tired of their stuff. It's just all works of, I'm pretty nice, so I'm okay. And really, their heart's not toward God. They're not walking in the respect and honor. You know, I found this out in Christianity. I found people that we wouldn't look at as being as holy as we would like them to be, but they're hooked up better to God in the Spirit than people who think they're really holy. Why? Because of what they're hooked up in the Spirit. We almost always go by the natural. We always look at the natural, you know. Well, they did this wrong. But do you know in their heart where they're standing on that? Do you know? Do you know where they're at in that thing? God did 100 times through me more stuff. And I tell you, I was a baby Christian. And I sure wasn't all hooked up. But God did more things through me when I first started off.
Amen.
That made all these 40, you know, Christians have been Christian for 40 years mad. They were so holy, you couldn't get God to move. Why? God didn't move by their holiness. He moves by His holiness. And see, I believed in His holiness. I believed He was great. I didn't believe I was. And I found out, just keep that attitude. I wasn't, He is.
Amen.
I ain't so holy, He is holy.
Amen.
And if I have any holiness, it came from Him.
Amen.
He makes me holy.
Glory.
Keeping yourself over there. It isn't about making who makes the least mistakes. The average Christianity out here would pick all kind of people that God won't move through. They think are wonderful because naturally they have this natural thing of holiness. They don't do this. Yet there's people out here and they've made a ton of mistakes and God moves through them powerful. You know? And you need to understand. Sometimes people make mistakes. They don't understand stuff or know stuff or things. Like I was a baby Christian. I was amazed the miracles God did through me, the things that happened and stuff. Stuff God would do. I was just a young Christian. I could get people filled with the Holy Ghost who had for 20 years trying to get full of the Holy Ghost, could get full of the Holy Ghost. I talked to them 10 minutes getting full of the Holy Ghost, things like that. I wouldn't, because I was a rocket scientist. I wasn't at all. You know, I kept listening to Kenneth Hagin talking about it. He mentioned certain things and all of a sudden it grabbed me of what to do. All of a sudden the revelation came to me. Bang! Came from him. And I knew what to do. Everybody gets stuck on the tongue side. They're just stuck over there and stuck over there and stuck over there. You don't talk in tongues to get full of the Holy Ghost. We don't get people full of the Holy Ghost. We're trying to get them tongues.
Yeah.
You get full of the Holy Ghost, tongues come natural.
Amen. That's right. Hallelujah.
See, all of a sudden, revelation comes from something. You pay attention to. Why? Because the rest of the body of Christ is running off in the wrong direction in this thing. They think they got a revelation. They know they're supposed to people get filled with the Spirit. They don't know how to get people hooked up. They don't know. They're trying to get them filled with the Spirit through the flesh. They're more interested in the natural manifestation than the spiritual deed.
Yep.
Ain't that good preaching?
Amen.
But see, do you see that? When the focus is just on the areas of tongues, that's a natural manifestation of a spiritual happening. Let's get the spiritual happening. Amen. They'll speak in tongues. Hallelujah. We might do some talking about that, some teaching in that area, getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it's an area, get focused in the right direction, gets over, you can get people hooked up easy, get them off the natural, get them over in the Spirit, start dealing with their mind instead of their mouth.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, bang, bring their thoughts into captivity and bang, oh, all of a sudden the light comes on.
Amen.
And they got it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good preaching.
Amen.
You see how the difference, so you can see the natural and the spiritual?
Yep.
A lot of stuff is ministered naturally and we're trying to have success. Nobody's touched, you touch over in the Spirit will take care of it. The Spirit will do it. But you got to touch over in the Spirit. As long as you stay over in the natural in it, natural things don't move the Spirit.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you because you're the God of wisdom. You're smarter than a whole bunch of us. Hallelujah. I am so glad you're my Father. You're incredible. And you gave me a wonderful master and Lord Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Because without your wisdom and understanding, we're on our own. And Lord, I lived too many years on my own. And I don't want to go there again. And I just want to thank you for Lord Jesus, you gave us the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Put the great teacher inside of us. To bring understanding, to empower us. That your glory can be revealed in the earth. And I just want to thank you. You're not holding back, and we're not going to hold back either.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're connecting with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your word is being opened to us. Our eyes see into the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And we're taking our place, grabbing a hold of our anointing. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we're going to walk in that power. That power, Lord God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. We're taking every thought into captivity in our life and in others' lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be glorified. Jesus Christ is being magnified because Satan is being bound.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And glory is being revealed.
Amen.
And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.